We Talk Podcast presents... Welcome to the Stick Boy Podcast for part two of Captain America vs. Spider-Man The Civil War Review. It's been a while. Life's been busy, but we still have Mackenzie here to talk about Civil War and give her thoughts and discuss who won the bet. I don't necessarily agree, but we'll get to that in a little bit. So, Civil War, what'd you think? Best Marvel movie ever? In the middle, or was it a big thumbs down?
It definitely wasn't a thumbs down. Was it the best one ever? No, to me the best one ever is definitely the first Captain America movie, and it probably will be Captain Marvel when that comes out in 2018. That's probably going to be one of my favorites. But this one is definitely a strong number two. I mean, they didn't fuck it up. It was really good. I think the plot line was really good. There was no big plot holes like there occasionally are in these movies. Like, Age of Ultron had so many plot holes. But this one, it was all done so well. And I'm not even going to lie to you here. I didn't hate Spider-Man. So if a movie can make me not hate Spider-Man, it's done its job.
I think they did a very good job. And I mean, one of the best parts about it was you got to see Dean Pelton from Community in it. So
how is that the best part?
That was one of the highlights. I saw Dean Pelton in the theater and I was like, that's Dean Pelton. Where's Jeff Winger? Where's the rest? Where's Community?
Where are they? When I saw him, I didn't even think that it was the Dean. Like, I knew, obviously, like, registered, but he was so, like, into his character that it didn't even, like, faze me of who he was. I was so encapsulated in the movie that I was like, I don't care, let's just keep going. This is great.
Didn't he not remind you a bit of the Dean, like, his character remind you of the character from Community a bit?
I think no matter what role that guy plays, he's just always going to be the Dean.
Yeah, that's
fair. Like,
enough.
That's just going to happen. He's actually in this movie that he wrote and he produced and he directed called The Way, Way Back.
Yeah.
And the character is completely different from the Dean, but as I was watching it, I was like, the Dean, the Dean, the Dean.
Oh, yeah. Like, when I saw that on Netflix, I thought, yeah, no, that's the Dean. I thought that was really cool because he'll always be the Dean to me, but... The Dean was working with Tony Stark, who clearly has some guilt issues and still is haunted by a few things. So that definitely was one of the big driving forces, was those demons that live within Tony and push him further along to make him be kind of, not the villain, but stand on the complete opposite side of the ideological perspective between him and Cap.
Oh, I totally agree. I think one of the main things that actually caused the conflict in this movie is that each of the main characters were holding on to something that wasn't real anymore. They were both being haunted by something that they couldn't fix. So they were trying to fix that situation instead.
Yeah.
And I think that was a big driving force of it.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree. I think both of them, like, they definitely... Like, when you see where... Like, when you see what happens with Scarlet Witch and Cap and the destruction that causes, and you just see that's a big catalyst, but there's been a lot of underlying things. They don't just play, well, there's all this damage, so we're just going to ignore it, and each movie we're going to have a lot of damage to each city and we'll just kind of keep going and doing our own thing. So it was nice to bring that to the forefront as well. I thought, you know, you could see that they were on a head-on collision, and Baron Von Zemo was okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just to talk more about the destruction, I am glad that they pointed it out, because I feel like in the original Avengers, there was so much destruction done to New York and nobody talked about it. Like, they destroyed Center Street in New York and, like, they just went on about their day.
Yeah.
And so I'm so glad that they did address it, because it's kind of the elephant in the room, right? Like, how are these superheroes able just to keep doing what they're doing and no consequences, right?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I think that they definitely kind of brought a lot of things to the forefront, and especially he wasn't there, but you still felt his presence, the Hulk.
Oh, totally. And you know what? It wasn't until the end of the movie that I was like, wait, the Hulk wasn't even in that? Like, it totally... It was like, he was in it, but he wasn't. It's a weird way to say that.
Yeah.
But just, like, his presence and the way they talked about him.
Yeah, he was very much one of the... And you get a callback as far back as the Incredible Hulk movie that featured Edward Norton and Thunderbolt General Ross. And it was kind of neat to see him come back in and be kind of that big force that is one of the guys leading the charges against it, because he had such a hatred for the Incredible Hulk that it was great to see that he had that damage years and years ago still resonated with him, and he still was looking for a way to... I think you said it best. A lot of people are looking at fixing something that they can't fix, and they're finding other ways to try to fix it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, all the characters were like that. Like, it's easy to say that Captain America was holding on to Bucky and Iron Man was holding on to his parents. Sorry, spoilers. But there's everyone like that. Like, I think Natasha was holding on to the fact that the Hulk wasn't there, and that kind of impacted her entire character. Yeah, she didn't talk about it, but it was kind of one of those things where you're like, clearly she's not the same character she used to be. And Scarlet Witch is holding on to the fact that her brother's dead, you know? Like, it's very... There's a lot of character changes in this movie, and I liked it.
Because I'd heard some rumors that Black Widow seemed very different, like, very far off from what she typically was. Do you think she may... Like, this may have planted the seeds that she may be... she might not be the real Black Widow, that there might be someone else kind of operating, because she played both sides, and she didn't do anything to stop this conflict between the two sides of the Avengers. She really kind of added to it in some ways. Do you think she may have been, like, a double agent or something? Because that would be kind of interesting to kind of see that the real Black Widow's been abducted or missing or MIA, and this doppelganger is coming in and running amok.
Well, here's the thing with Black Widow, is that she is a spy. She always has been. Iron Man 2 came out right away, you're like, can we really, really trust this person? And the more the movies go on, the more we find out so much more about her, and you're kind of like, she kind of seems like, can we trust her? And I think she sounds like a totally different person, because she is a totally different person. I think each movie changes her. They're all completely different people. I do think she is Natasha Romanoff, that's her last name, right?
Yep.
I believe it's her. I don't think it's a doppelganger. I've heard that too. I think they're planting the seeds for when the Hulk comes back and she doesn't love him anymore.
It's going to be very interesting because you got to think that we saw Civil War and we saw a lot of characters come in, and one of the better ones was Black Panther, but we'll get to him. You see that a lot of the groups are fractured now with everything that's happened, and you're just seeing that there are a lot of sides drawn, so when Thor and Hulk come back, well, Thor's not going to be coming back because he's going to die at the end of Ragnarok. Or that's at least the prevalent theory right now, is he will die and Hulk will return with Thor's hammer to Earth, revealing Thor's dead, and he has to come in, and he has to be one of the people that come in and go, what the hell happened? The last time I was here, everyone got along. Tony was retired. War Machine could walk. What have you guys all done? So it'll be very interesting to see when he comes in to deal with all this as well, and see how much it makes him angry.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it's going to be, Black Widow will have moved on to dating Bucky, because that's supposed to happen. And so she will move on to be dating him, they won't be dating, obviously, they're superheroes, they'll be in love, I don't know. And Hulk's going to be like, what the hell, you know, I thought we were in love, and she's going to be like, well, you left. And it's going to show that he kind of, like, hurt her trust, and that's why she didn't know what side to be on in the Civil War.
Yeah.
Because she didn't know who to trust.
I definitely think I could see that playing out, but I think having a lover in an ice cube is going to be a little tricky for...
He's gonna be thawed by the next movie, don't even.
Maybe, possibly. I think that was definitely interesting, because let's get to probably one of the better characters in this, Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
He came in, and you almost instantly connected with him. Like, this guy's cool.
I hated him.
What?!
Yeah, I hated Black Panther so much. Oh my god, from the moment he started talking, I was just like, shut up.
He was fantastic.
I'm not, like, it was a great character, and the actor performed it really great. I just personally didn't like it. It's not a hint against the character. It's not a hit against the actor. I just didn't like him. He fit into the plot nicely and everything, but I'm not going to like everybody in this movie, and I'm not going to like the person who's trying to kill Captain America.
Well, the only reason he was trying to kill Captain America was because of Bucky, and I think that you look at how... how they interacted to start the movie and how they interacted to end the movie is very much you saw the twist. You saw that there was growth in all three character progressions. Not so much with Cap and Bucky. They were kind of staying on the same path. But Black Panther definitely had a twist to him, and where he finally... I don't know what would be the best word, but there was definitely a shift in him from kill, 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 vengeance, 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 to maybe chasing vengeance it won't be such a good thing for me. Maybe I need to focus on something else.
Yeah, and I think that relates back to the main plot of this movie, is that all the characters are holding on to something they can't have anymore. He's holding on to the fact that he's like, oh, my father died, I should avenge him. But now he's realizing, okay, going after the killer isn't going to bring my father back.
Yeah.
Right now, I need to worry about what's good for humankind. And I think that's why he froze, like, let Bucky freeze himself there.
Yeah.
And you said that there really wasn't a change in Bucky and Captain America's relationship. I definitely think there was, because two movies ago, when they first discovered Bucky, there's no way Captain America would have been like, hey, yeah, it's a good idea, let's freeze you again, because he's constantly trying to, like, get the old Bucky back. He's constantly like, no, you're going to be okay, like, we can do this. And so, like, letting Bucky freeze himself was a huge step in their relationship, because it's him finally saying, you know what, you're right, I can't fix you, I'm not going to try anymore, I'm going to let you make your own decisions.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. I think I definitely can agree with that. You know, I want to save the one character towards the end, because he's tied so deeply into what all of this is. Ant-Man, what do you think of the use of Ant-Man in here? Paul Rudd.
I love Paul Rudd. I've loved him since he was Mike on Friends. I'll never stop loving Paul Rudd. And just Paul Rudd as Ant-Man, even better. And now they have him as Giant Man, who is, it's a spin-off comic, I believe, that he becomes Giant. Like, it was an addition to the original Ant-Man comics, and they have villains like the Eraser Man, who's a terrible villain, and I hope they don't bring him in. But I think what they did so great with the Ant-Man here is that now in his second movie, he's going to be on the run from the law. And that's going to make an excellent storyline, because Wasp is such a very stick-to-the-law character, and clearly she's going to be in the sequel to Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And so having him running from the law but needing her help, and her being like, is this a good idea? Like, why are we running from the law? Is going to be super interesting. So yeah, I think they set up his movie really well.
I think they set it up.
And they used him really well, yeah.
They set it up really well, they used him really well, and yeah, now you've got a group of characters running from the law. You almost have the Secret Avengers running around. So it'll be, it's going to be really interesting to see how that all plays out, because you've got these characters that had a life for the most part, and now they're being uprooted because they fought for what they believed in and are on the run, more or less. How's that going to play out? How's that going to affect that half of the Marvel Universe? I think Ant-Man's going to be one of the bigger movies that we'll get an answer from. And it should be really interesting to see how this all affects this, because it can't just be like, oh, well, we all fixed it. Jolly Willigers, everything's okay. They've got to kind of suffer a little bit, and it's got to be more of a challenge for them, and make being a hero and doing the right thing that much more challenging for them.
Oh, I agree 100%, and you're right. The way I look at just the whole Marvel Universe in general is it's a giant puzzle, and so for a while it was like Iron Man, and then Iron Man 2, and then Hulk, and then like they're building this puzzle just to lead to the Avengers, and you're like, oh, the puzzle's complete, awesome, now the story's over. But then they started again, and they were like Captain America 2, Iron Man 3, and they started rebuilding a bigger puzzle, and then they got to Age of Ultron, and you're like, wow, that's a shitty puzzle, let's build a nicer puzzle. And so now they're building the third puzzle by now? Yeah, third puzzle, leading to the Secret Avengers, and it's going to be leading to the Infinity Wars. So I think movies like Ant-Man and the Spider-Man movies, which are coming out, and Captain Marvel, and there's going to have to be a Captain America 4. There's going to have to be.
I think there will be at one point.
But maybe not. It won't be right away.
No. Now, speaking of Captain America, we talked about one of the newer characters for this. What did you think? Because I like the comics. I like the Civil War comic, which is a very good read. They didn't follow the ending as they did in the comics. In the comics, Cap gets shot, dies, and that's the end, and then Bucky picks up the mantle. Clearly, this is not how that movie ended. So what do you think, as someone that maybe weren't as religiously hoping that they would follow through and they would kill Cap, what do you think of how they ended it, and do you think it was a smart choice? Do you think they should have stuck with the comics?
Obviously, I'm a true believer in the fact that they need to stick with the comics, because I feel like, why are you changing something? We know this works. Like, why are you fucking with it? But they needed to keep Captain America alive because Bucky isn't ready to become Captain America, and this movie proved it. There was a big fight scene when they're going down the flights of stairs, and Bucky, like, keeps killing people, and Cap has to, like, save them, and he's like, really, dude? And I think that proved that Bucky's so not ready to become Captain America. Sam is so not ready to become Captain America. But I almost think that Agent Carter, her granddaughter, but she's also Agent Carter, is ready to become Captain America. But I don't think the audience was ready for that change yet, because we've only seen her once. But I do think what's going to happen is that Captain America is going to die in the Spider-Man movie, and she's going to take over, and it's going to be a woman.
Wow,
but she's going to...
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and then she's going to unfreeze... I'm talking, shut up. And then she's going to unfreeze Bucky and bring him along for the ride, because he's better as the Winter Soldier more than he is Captain America. We need him to play the Winter Soldier, and we need Sam to play... Oh, fuck. I can't even think of who Sam is. Falcon. Yeah, I keep wanting to say Eagle. I don't know why. He doesn't even look like an eagle.
Well, he is Bald Eagle, technically, so...
Okay, yeah. But yeah, so I think they need Falcon and the Winter Soldier to both be parts, and neither of them can become Captain America, so she's going to become Captain America.
I don't know. That would definitely be interesting, and I mean, if you told me Captain America's going to die in Spider-Man, then man, I got another reason to go see this movie. I'll be glued to that theater chair, just waiting. I think it'd
Fuck
be very...
you.
I think it'd be very interesting. Interesting take, because I mean, in the comics, we've seen a female Thor. We've never seen a female Captain America, so this would definitely be really diverting off the course from what they've done previously. But in these last couple of years, there's been a big push for showing that they can be strong female characters that carry movie franchises. And I think it would be very interesting to see if that would work, see how people would respond to it. I think it could be done well. I do think that Cap's just going to stay alive, and he's just always going to be Captain America one way or another. Because this would have been the perfect time to pull the trigger, and the fact that they didn't, I think just says that we like Chris Evans where he is, we're just going to kind of keep him there, and maybe, just maybe, in Infinity War, he'll bite the bullet, but we don't know yet.
The thing is that, yeah, he does make such an amazing Captain America, but here's why I'm saying that Agent Carter is going to be the new Captain America. At the eulogy for Peggy Carter's funeral, she gives this beautiful speech about when it's time to compromise, when you have to push, when you have to give back, and in the original comic books, Captain America gives that eulogy. It's not the Carter girl who gives it, he gives it. And so I think that was a little tip-off showing that she has the same values as him, and she's a very old-fashioned girl living in this world, which is exactly what he is. I don't like how they built up a romance between them, and that is not because I'm in love with Chris Evans. That's just because I felt it was unneeded.
A little creepy, because the actress that played Agent Carter had come out and said it was a little creepy, you know. I wouldn't want him kissing my great-granddaughter. That was a little, you know, a little creepy. So you're not alone in feeling it was a little meh. So
it kind of reminded me, for those of you who watched Friends, there's this play that Joey's in when he's a time traveler, and he says to the girl right before he's about to time travel in the play, he's like, and you tell your great 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 granddaughter to look me up, because I'm gonna want to know who she is. Like, and it's just the skeeziest line, and the audience laughs, and that's just what it reminded me of, and it just like creeped the hell out of me. So yeah, I was very against that relationship.
Yeah. Well, Bucky and Falcon got a good laugh out of that. There were definitely a lot of laugh out loud moments in this movie, which I think was good, because I'd seen Batman versus Superman, and there weren't a lot of funny moments, and you were a little sad after seeing the movie. This movie it did a very good job of keeping the balance of humor and seriousness to it. And every time you could chuckle a little bit, it was like, okay, yeah, I get to laugh a little bit. And then you get War Machine paralyzed. What'd you think of that? The big airport scene, just everything that happened in that.
Just to go back to the humor for a second, is I think you're right, is that there does need to be a good balance of humor in these movies, because at the end of the day, they're superheroes. Like, I love them, and I take this shit so seriously, you know I do. But at the end of the day, a man can't be frozen for fucking 80 years and come back and look as good as he does. So you got to understand that there's some ridiculousness about these movies, and I feel like they understand that, and they take that into account. Where Batman versus Superman doesn't. They're like, this is a serious topic. This is so important. This is fucking world domination. This shit could happen. You need to pay attention. And so I think it's so great that they do this in the Marvel movies, is that they make fun of themselves a little bit, and they're kind of like, let's have a laugh about how ridiculous this is. Because it is a crazy idea, but it's great to go along with crazy ideas.
Yeah.
You are very affected by the fact that War Machine got paralyzed. I'm not. I'm kind of like, okay, that's, someone had to get hurt, so let's carry on.
Yeah, it was definitely taking, it kind of, for me, you kind of have a character, and you have that big airport scene, which is the best scene in superhero history. Second only to Spider-Man 2 and the train with him saving all the people. But that's a conversation for another day. You look at it, and that really pushed Tony over the edge. That was the line that crossed, is harming his friend. And you could see that there was a bit of recklessness, there was a little bit of this war, this civil war. That was the only time I felt that this someone could have died, that this was actually a fight between people. And it was really interesting, because for the most part, they had the gloves on. They weren't trying to hurt each other. They weren't really trying to hurt each other seriously. They're just trying to lightly tap each other and, I need to get on the airplane. You need to get out of my way. That was the first time that really felt like, holy crap, that was, someone got really injured here. Someone got hurt. There's a lot of things going on. And it definitely pushed Tony forward and pushed him to the next step.
It was a turning point in the movie, definitely, because you're right, up until that point it wasn't a serious fight. Like, there's a scene between Clint and Natasha where he's like, we're still totally friends, right? And she's like, depends on how hard you hit me next, or something, or vice versa. And I think that proved that, like, yeah, they're just battling, you know, it's not a fight, they're gonna make up, it's gonna be okay. But as soon as War Machine got injured, things got serious. Tony changed, because, and you know what, I don't think it would have affected Tony as much if he hadn't been broken up with Piper, and if he hadn't found out about his parents. I feel like so much is being brought up in this movie about him that it's like, it was the final straw. He was like, nope, you can't take this away from me too, we're done, I'm fucking over it.
Yeah, I think it definitely, it goes back to, and I don't know if you've ever read it, but it goes back to the DC comic, The Killing Joke. One of the lines from the Joker is, all it takes is one bad day, and he tries to demonstrate that by giving Jim Gordon, Commissioner Gordon, the worst day ever. And really, Tony had probably the worst couple weeks of his life, worst couple days when all this is going on, because he's getting so much information. He has to deal with, again, his father's death really kind of stuck with him still, and you could see it in the opening scene. Then the damage and losing the friends and building Ultron and the injury to War Machine, Cap not being his friend anymore, finding out Bucky was responsible, all these things just built up, and I think it was really what pushed Tony towards almost destroying everything he kind of helped build, because he was the first Avenger, so he built all this, and that one bad day almost tore it all away.
Yeah, and you know what, I was actually having this conversation earlier today with my friend, because we're talking about Stanley's cameo in it, and she said it was basically the let's crap on Tony Stark movie, because just so much like happened to him. He found out all this shit, constantly getting picked on, and then at the end of the movie he gets called Tony Stank by Stanley himself. And so it's just kind of like, how much abuse can we really put on to Tony Stark?
and expect him not to fight back.
Yeah.
But it was weird, and I think you're right that it was a lot of build up, and it's weird to see him fight for a side that was so not him, because you're right, he built the Avengers. He was the first one, and he was always up for, you know, breaking the rules and screw the government. Like, you know, we gotta do what's right. Who cares what they want? But in this movie, he's very much so, no, I care what they want. We need to do this, you know? Whereas Captain America was less like himself and more like, no, it doesn't matter what the rest of the world wants. It matters what I want.
Yeah, it was definitely two very different sides that you think in a lot of ways would have flipped around. But I think for what pushed Cap the one way was definitely the Winter Soldier 2, the revealing of Hydra, the corruption all around, the lack of trust around him, I think really pushed him to being like, no, we don't need to be policed. We can police ourselves. We can handle it ourselves. Don't worry. And Tony, very much a rule breaker, sees how many times he's broken the rules and how many times that's costed someone their lives, someone their family, someone a piece of their home city. I think it finally broke him. And now he's like, no, I guess we gotta kind of follow the rules. So if Tony had this feeling when Cap wanted to follow the rules, then I think they'd get along. But this really was an intersection for both characters, where both things led them to this down a road, and then they took a very sharp left turn, sharp left and right turn, and it crossed with each other.
Oh, I totally agree. And it's weird when you lay it out like that. In real sense, Captain America is a lot older than Tony Stark, but when you lay it out like that, it almost sounds like Tony's the older one, because it's kind of like he's lived his life and now he's looking back on him being like, shit, I should have done things differently. You need to do things differently, Cap. Like, you can't follow in my footsteps. Don't do what I did. I messed up. And Captain America's like the young kid, like, oh, well, I don't trust anybody anymore because one person screwed me over. Like, no. One Hydra person kind of fucked everything up, and, you know, there were sleeping agents. That doesn't really make sense. But, you know, you got to be able to trust, Captain. Come on, we love you. And so it was really weird to see those characters turn and conflict with each other, but on the sides that they would opposite be on. And it was an interesting way to do it. So I applaud the writers for doing that, because it was really incredible.
Yeah, I definitely think there were a lot of positives with that. But now let's get to my favorite part. This is when I was sitting in the theater the whole time on the edge of my seat, and when Tony Stark said he knew a guy, and I'm like, what guy did he know? I know what guy he know, but please just finally deliver. And when they showed Brooklyn, and they showed every
Queens.
Theater, Queens. When
get it right, Joel. You're the one who's supposed to love him.
Yeah, I make mistakes every once in a while. I will openly admit it. When you see him and you see Aunt May, all those little fears that everyone had of, oh, that's too much of a young aunt, or is he really going to be a good Spider-Man? I don't know. Maybe this is too crowded. Maybe all these things. And you just sit there and you see that whole scene and you're like, yay, this is working. This is awesome. And the first time you see Spider-Man running around in the airport scene, stealing Cap's shield, screwing with Bucky, bringing up a Star Wars movie reference, it was grand. It was perfect. I'm happy. I can't wait for Homecoming. I'm gonna be a little biased. I'm wearing a Spider-Man hoodie right now, so I may swing one way a little bit more. What do you think of Spider-Man's debut as someone that's a little more on the other side, on the other fence, on the spectacular, amazing, wonderful Spider-Man?
I didn't hate it, and I was on the skeptics where I'm like, she's too young to play Aunt May, and he's too young to play Spider-Man. But I think it added to it so much that he was young and she was young, because now they have so much time to kind of play with the character storyline and get him ready. Because I think the biggest mistake they made with Tobey Maguire's movie is that they took him out of high school too soon. He's out of high school within the first movie, and most of Spider-Man's comics are based on the idea that he's a teenage kid dealing with teenage kid problems while also saving New York. And I found that in the comics, that's what always made it interesting, is the fact that it was like, yeah, he could go out and like save the girl one day, but the next day he was getting shoved into a locker. And I think that's something that's relatable for everybody, or at least funny to watch. And so the Tobey Maguire movie and the Andrew Garfield movie were missing that component. And so I think now that they have such a young kid, and the kid himself is so great at playing it, because during that whole fight scene, he wasn't even fighting. He was just amazed by it all. He was excited to meet Captain America. He wanted to fight with War Machine, you know? Like, he wanted to do all these things. He was just in awe of it, right? Like, he was amazed. He was a kid at the candy store. And that's what I wanted out of Spider-Man. I wanted him to be immersed in the world.
And he's going to keep coming back. And we have Spider-Man Homecoming, which Donald Glover's been announced for. There's a lot of things that are going on for that movie. I think this was a great way to introduce the character. I think there's a lot of positive hopefuls from everything that we've seen for this character. He looked like Spider-Man. He moved like Spider-Man. He talked like Spider-Man. This is everything you could want. And now it's just, let's see what they do with the next movie, and Spider-Man's going to be Infinity War. Spider-Man's going to be standing alongside Star-Lord eventually, and Captain America, and Iron Man, and all these characters, and Captain Marvel, and Doctor Strange, Ant-Man. He's going to be standing alongside all these characters, and it's going to be very, very cool. And around that time, they can introduce the Black Symbiote, and then they can be off and running with a couple more movies for Spider-Man on their
breathe, own. Breathe, Joel, breathe.
I'm very excited.
This is so many years into the future. I'm just excited. Here's how I want Spider-Man Homecoming to end. I want him to get his part-time job at the Daily Bugle and for Captain Marvel to be there, because there's a great crossover comic with them where she works with him there and he kind of figures out that she's Captain Marvel, like, outside of work. Like, they meet each other when they're superheroes and then they meet each other when they're not, and it's really funny and kind of cool. And that's what I want to happen. I want, that's how they introduce Captain Marvel, and then she gets her own movie. Yep. That is how that needs to happen. And then when it's Infinity Wars, she calls him, and she says, I need your help. Like, you need to come join this new team.
Yeah, I think tying them together like that, and that also creates opportunities for a little bit more of having her around when he is Spider-Man. And you can create some fun crossovers. Mm-hmm. But all in all, what would you give Civil War out of 10?
Oh, a 10. It was good. It really was. There's been a few problems with the Marvel movies, and I always just, like, go back to, if you watch an Honest Trailer, like, have you seen those videos, Honest Trailers?
Yep.
If you go back and you watch any of the Honest Trailers for any of the Marvel movies, they always point out the plot holes, and then I'm like, damn, like, that is a good point. That doesn't make any fucking sense. But with this one, there was no plot holes, which is what makes me happy. Spider-Man wasn't overly commercialized. They set everything up nice. The after-credit scenes were both amazing now that I've seen them both. And yeah, I was overall happy.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little bit harder. The main villain, Baron Von Zemo, definitely kind of... like, it all seemed like it came together too nicely. Like, it all just seemed like it clicked one after another. And it was like, oh, this happened. So this will happen. So this will happen. It was all very much click, click, click. So I'd give it probably an 8. But that's just my perspective on things. Like, the end fight was good. Like, I enjoyed the final fight scene. It was visually nice. I do think Iron Man probably wouldn't have survived.
No, he should have died. And that's one of the other things we were talking about. Like, you were saying that they couldn't pull the trigger to kill Chris Evans. Well, then they should have pulled it to kill Robert Downey Jr. Because he's already said that he's done playing Iron Man. Like, he has said that in all of his press things for this. He is done with the role. He might show up in Spider-Man, like you said, but there's not going to be an Iron Man 4. He's not going to be a main character in any of the other movies. He's done. So why not kill him?
Yeah, I definitely think I would agree that maybe it's time to knock off old Iron Man. But, you know, at the end of the day, I've always looked at it as, there was a point where you would never have gotten this. There would never have been movies like this. But the fact that you do now is such a treat that it's like, even when they're not the greatest movies, you're still like a kid in a candy store when you see these, and you see these characters come to life, and you're like, it's real. These are the characters that I read and grew up with. This is awesome.
I think that is the best part. And you're right, that we would never have gotten these movies. And like, I go back to, I own some of the original Batman movies, like the original, when it's literally a guy in a pair of tights playing Batman, and it's so fucking lame. But imagine being a kid and watching it. You would have been like, it's Batman, it's really Batman, and you would have loved it so much. And no. So maybe in 20 years, you know, when my kids are running around, the Evans, they'll like watch these movies and they'll be like, wow, they're really lame compared to the really cool ones we have now. But for right now, these movies are incredible, and it is a treat to get to watch them.
Oh, yeah. Now, before we get to our bet, I did want to get your opinion on one thing that's kind of related to it, but at the same time, it's interesting news. There have been reports, and these are very small reports, so whether they're true or not remains to be seen, but it's always fun to kind of sit there and think. But there have been rumors that Marvel, Disney, have been meeting with Fox to talk about an eventual X-Men Marvel Universe crossover, so an Avengers X-Men crossover. What would you think of something like that? Do you think that would draw any money? Do you think there'd be any interest in a movie like that?
There'd be interest if they wouldn't recast the X-Men. They can't restart the X-Men movies. They have to. I've never seen any of the X-Men, but I've read the Captain Marvel comics that include the X-Men. She works a lot with Logan before he turns into Wolverine, and so there would be an easy crossover. She could call them up to help them with her in Infinity Wars. Oh, it would draw in so much money, though, to answer that question, if they didn't recast. If it's really
Hugh Jackman
playing Wolverine, and it's really Jennifer Lawrence playing Mystique, then hell yes, that would bring in so much movie. Would they do it? Probably not. But would Ryan Reynolds openly join the Avengers? Completely.
That's the only thing that came to mind. Like, the one thing, like, I've seen X-Men Apocalypse, and for the first hour, it's boring. The best part of that movie is Quicksilver. That scene with Quicksilver. But it would be very...
Quicksilver as in Scarlet Witch's brother?
Well, because the thing that happened was Fox and Marvel had a little bit of a piss contest to see who could piss off the other person quicker. And when Josh Whedon announced that they were going to have Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in Ultron, Fox announced that they were going to have Quicksilver in their movie Days of Future Past. And it became this whole, well, we have the real one. Well, no, we have the real one. And it became this whole back and forth thing between the two parties. So there's two Quicksilvers running around right now. And I do prefer the Fox's Quicksilver. But that was the best part of Apocalypse. But I think, as someone that really has enjoyed some X-Men movies, I feel like they've hit a wall. I feel like they're really spinning their tires right now. And I think maybe Fox feels that way as well. It didn't make as much money as it once did. And I think that they kind of look at it and kind of go, well, there's probably more money in having these characters all together as opposed to saying, screw you, we'll do it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And especially after the Fantastic Four debacle.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Yeah, they're probably looking at, we need to kind of find a way for these characters. So I could see them brokering some sort of deal, but I definitely think that you will see Ryan Reynolds and Spider-Man together at one point, which will be the movie that will make the most money.
I think he'll make the most money because so many 16-year-old fangirls who draw that fanfiction will go see it just for that reason, right? They won't care about the movie. They'll be like, I'm there. I think before we even try to do an X-Men Avengers crossover, like a full one, there'll definitely be a little Deadpool thrown in with the Avengers. I can see that happening. But a full X-Men with the Avengers can't happen until we at least get one good Fantastic Four movie, because that used to be my favorite comic book before I discovered Captain Marvel and Captain America. It was the Fantastic Four. I love the Human Torch. Maybe it's just I like superheroes who Chris Evans plays. But it pisses me off that they can't get it right, because it is an easy storyline, and they keep fucking it up.
There was a question brought up to me, and I'm going to bring this up to you as well. Is the Fantastic Four a little outdated for today's day and age? Like, is the storylines, is the characters relatable, or is it, or have they has time passed them by? Because I have heard that argument that they are a little stale and boring, and there's no real, like, the biggest thing from that is Doctor Doom. Like, if you had Doctor Doom in a villain for the Avengers, then I'm there. But do you think that the Fantastic Four, the four of them, are a little stale?
No, I don't. I think when people say that, it tries to, now that you say that, it's making me realize what went wrong with this remake with Miles Teller and Michael B. Jordan, is that they were trying to make these characters relevant. They were trying to make them so young, and so, like, into high school problems, and, like, one of them was super poor, and they were all, like, young and good-looking. Doing that makes them unrelatable to me. I'm not going to go watch a movie where a bunch of teenagers have, like, superpowers and degrees, because that doesn't make sense. If they made them all adults, like they did in the original ones, they made them all adults, and then they made the storyline good, the way they get their powers good, which is what the second one did right, but the first group didn't. You need to somehow, like, combine the movies, is what I'm trying to say. The Fantastic Four needs to be older people. Don't try to make them young to make them relatable, but have the storyline still make sense. I don't like how they had in this new one, Sue Storm not even go on the trip with them. Like, she just got her powers by being on the computer. Like, that made no sense to me. And so I think if they do that, then they would be great. Maybe it's that they don't need their own movie. Maybe what needs to happen is during Infinity Wars, Captain Marvel calls up the new Avengers, she calls up Guardians of the Galaxy, and then they're like, guys, we need more people. Anybody know anybody? And they're like, call up the Fantastic Four. We got them. They're in their place studying right now. We got them.
Yeah, I definitely think it would be, it's very interesting because you look at the last couple years of superhero movies, that it's been, there have been some hit and misses sometimes, that Marvel's been pretty well off with how they've done things. DC is their thing. I think they're getting their stuff together, but mm-hmm. we'll see. It's going to be very interesting because if they do, if Marvel and Disney broker a deal, then Disney's king. Like, they are going to be, it may not be, they don't have to buy these rights back anymore. They can work a deal out. They can be adults. They can be like, hey, we want to do this. Cool. How much money is involved? A lot of money for you. Sweet. I'll be there. I think we're getting closer to that point where none of these companies are like, well, no, I'm not going to share. I'm going to make all the money and then not make all the money. This way, it opens the door for everyone to make some money and for comic book fans to see the movies that we never thought we would see.
Mm-hmm. So, is there a comic book where X-Men and the Avengers team up?
Oh, yeah. X-Men.
Then
X-Men,
that needs
Logan,
to happen.
They had a comic book series where X-Men versus Avengers and Cyclops kills Professor X.
Oh.
So they have definitely had several crossing.
That would make a lot of money if they were fighting. If they were teaming up, it wouldn't. They have to fight.
Yeah, I think a feud would be the best way to go forward. But now, we made a bet. And apparently, I lost.
How apparently is that? Of course you did. There's the scene. I didn't think we would actually get a scene where they fight. I thought they were actually going to not meet up at all in this movie, because the truth is, me and you talked about this the other day, as much as me and you like to pretend that there's a feud between the two, there's not. There's actually going to be a friendship. Characters are very similar. So there's going to be a friendship there, obviously, which is why I didn't think that there would be any contact between them in this movie. But we got their little fight scene, which proved our bet, which proved I won.
Yeah.
Can Spider-Man pull a helicopter towards a building with just his arms?
And this means I've lost. So
yep.
Mackenzie was right and I was wrong.
And now you have to
change my name and go to Mexico.
No, I already have the costume, Joel, so don't even. Need a brown curly wig and a blue fedora. So if anyone has those things, please contact me. My Twitter handle is @MacJakeWish.
This is... No. I have to...
I'm trying to pick, like, the location to do it. I'm thinking it's going to happen on Stephen Avenue in Calgary.
I'm thinking, like an abandoned warehouse somewhere.
What?
Far away from people.
Where am I going to find an abandoned warehouse? No, you're going to have to dress up, and you're going to have to hold a sign that says free photos.
Oh, no.
And so people will come up and take photos with you.
So.
I get to change the bet as I please. I'm the winner.
Yeah, no free photos.
Yes, free photos.
No.
So if anyone's interested in seeing Joel dress up like Agent Peggy Carter herself, make sure you are on Stevens Avenue on the day we decide to do this. What are you thinking, Joel? Maybe next week?
Oh, God, no. I've got... To be very honest, I've got a lot of things going. It probably will be August.
Ugh. You know I'm going to forget about it, and though that's why you're doing this. You're like, she's too busy. She'll forget. I'll just keep putting it off.
No, it will eventually happen, but it'll probably be August.
Fair enough. I'm quite busy. We're just very, very busy people, podcast world, which is why it took us like 2 months to put this out.
Yeah, I'm a slow mover. I'm a snail's pace, but there you go. Civil War, found out who won and found out who's going to dress up as Peggy Carter. Yay! Silence the whole time.
Yeah, just
so,
like awkward silence.
Yeah. So you've already plugged your Twitter handle. Any other social media you'd like to plug? Maybe a show?
Yes. Let's plug Soundscape. I'm on this new show. I host it and I produce it. It is called Soundscape. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Sometimes it's Soundscape YYC on Facebook, just Soundscape. Make sure you follow all those sites, and if you do it, I'll love you forever. Thank you.
I guess I'll do my plug. We do a wrestling podcast, and we're actually now have a Facebook and Instagram page for it. It is the One Fall Podcast. You can find it both on Facebook and on Instagram at @one_fall_pod, where myself and Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot of Fresh Take will be talking all things pro wrestling. And Stick Boy, there's a lot of good stuff coming out. Eventually, there will be a Sate podcast coming out featuring a few good friends talking about what life was like at Sate and what it was like to graduate and be out in the industry of television production. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And I'm sure Mackenzie will be back to torture me further. And
oh, guaranteed.
They'll probably be sad. They'll probably kill off Spider-Man, and we'll have to do a podcast on that, and I'm sitting in a corner for the next 6 months.
They're not going to kill off that cash cow. Come on. They're going to milk that thing till it's dry.
More or less. So make sure you stay tuned. Make sure you follow all that good stuff on social media, and look out for pictures of me in drag. It'll be lots of fun.